Please welcome Gene Melter.
Thank you, Kirk. Good evening, everyone. Well, I was the youngest of eight children spaced close together, so technically I did not need friends. But by the age of four or five, I wanted one. I wanted a friend. At this time, we lived in a neighborhood, a kind of newish neighborhood in Encino, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. We lived in a sprawling ranch-style house, and there were quite a few vacant lots on our street, where houses yet to be built. One of these vacant lots was located behind our house, just around the corner. And I decided that I had a friend who lived there, a little boy. So I would go over to this vacant lot, and in those days, this is the 60s, children were free range. I had been wandering around our neighborhood for years. So I would go over to this vacant lot by myself, and I would walk up an imaginary path to the front door, like a walkway, and I would ring an imaginary doorbell. And then this imaginary little boy would answer the door and invite me in. And we would play together. We would play with his toys or maybe swim in his pool or maybe dance together. I did this for hours. And then I'd go home and tell my mom all about the things I'd done with this little boy. And she'd go, because she had eight children. So after a while, construction equipment and workers started showing up at my vacant lot. But I worked around them. You know, I'd still go over there and play with my friend. But sometimes that was impossible, and I had to just invite him to my house, and we'd play at my house. And then, after, I suppose, a few months, an actual house and a pool and a lawn and everything appeared in that vacant lot. So now my game was really good, you know? And when all the workers, everybody cleared out, I went on over there and walked up an actual walkway and rang an actual doorbell, and the door opened, and there stood a handsome, dark-haired little boy, just my size. And he invited me in. And this was surprising, yet not surprising. And it was confusing, yet not confusing. Because, yeah, wishes sometimes do come true. My wish had come true. This little boy, whose name was David, and I became fast friends. We became inseparable. We were always together. And it was more than, he was more than my first friend. He was my first love, because there was definitely a romantic aspect to our relationship. We held hands, for example. We danced together for hours. We'd have our older siblings put on their Beatles albums, and we'd dance and dance. Our song was, "I'm Looking Through You," and we developed kind of choreography to it. "I'm looking through you." We'd cuddle and whisper together, and we used the bathroom together. And I imagine, looked at each other's privates, and we gave each other permission to use the towels instead of toilet paper. because that was easier, and it was just, we knew it was wrong, but that became one of our many little secrets. Of course, our siblings and the other kids in the neighborhood made fun of our romance. You know, ha ha, there goes David and Jeannie sitting in a tree, KSS and all that. But we didn't care until we did start to care. And I think we must have been maybe first grade-ish, starting school. We didn't go to the same school. I went to a Catholic school, Our Lady of Discipline, you know. He went to public school. Now, they had a huge Catholic family as well. Our families were kind of identical, really. We lived in identical houses that were back to back. A million children, stay-at-home moms, you know, the dad who didn't have much to do with the children, except we were like a mass of freckly-faced kids, and you know, like the Irishy kind of Catholic kids, and then they were these gorgeous, dark, kind of Italian Catholic kids. But otherwise, we just had identical families. Well, so I think it was when we were maybe seven, we started to get self-conscious about our relationships and the comments people would make, even though we didn't have a romance that, you know, was exposed to the derision of classmates because we didn't go to the same school. It was still just our siblings and neighborhood kids. But it started to bother us. And I remember one incident that was just the last straw for me. There was a slideshow in our living room. Young people, this was a thing. You'd have people over for dinner. And so in my case, I'd be like, now there's millions of people in our living room sprawled over the floor. And then your father would get out this carousel and you'd do a slideshow and maybe narrate it. And in this one slideshow, now David and his family weren't at our house for the slideshow, but it still really bothered me what happened. In this slideshow, there came up, and you know, it was kind of a surprising thing with the slides because nobody ever put them in any kind of order. So this slide just suddenly popped up and it was me and David having a moment. And we were at the drinking fountain in my backyard getting a drink, but we were trying to get a drink at the same time. So it was very sweet. Our eyes were closed and our faces were right next to each other. It was just a little private moment. And the whole room erupted. And wolf whistles and jeers and jokes and teasing. And it was devastating. I was mortified, and I ran from the room into my room and just cried and cried. And after that, David was also feeling the same sort of self-consciousness. We became more careful, more circumspect and discreet, you know, with our relationship. And then eventually, we just stopped playing with each other altogether. And when I was 8 years old, my family moved away. We moved pretty far away, and I didn't see David again for 10 years. So now it's 1978 and I've just graduated from high school and I have a shitty summer job. I'm starting to save money for college in the fall. And I'm in a play, which is like my favorite thing, but no one in the cast likes me. So it's actually turned out to be kind of a miserable experience. And they had a good reason, but I won't go into that. But so I'm an unpopular member of a cast of Gypsy, and I'm slogging away at rehearsals every night, and then working my horrible, very hot day job, and what I needed was a summer romance, and I just happened to run into a girl who'd lived on that same street. Her name was Mary, and also like 6, 7, 8 kids. And I ran into her someplace, like the mall or something, and we start talking, and she says I should come by sometime, you know, see the old neighborhood. She lives in the same house. And I remember David. I think of David, and I say, does David still live in that neighborhood? And she says, yeah. And I said, well, do you ever see him? What's he like now? And she said, I don't talk to him, but I do see him, and he's really cute. He's tall and tan, and he has long, dark hair. And that was all I needed to generate a brand new fantasy about David. And so I would drive home late at night from rehearsals, listening to the radio, and imagining me, David, dancing or going to movies or going to the beach together. And David looked, you know, was kind of like your rock star surfer Jesus type, which is... was a thing for Catholic girls. Don't know if it still is, but... and because Jesus, remember, was always really, really cute, especially in Jesus Christ Superstar. And so this is me and David having a summer romance in my head. And then after a few weeks of this, I thought, I could make this happen. I could go visit Mary. So I called her up. We set up a date. I went to Mary's house. We chit-chatted for a while. And then I shared my plan with her. And she loved the plan. She just loved the plan. And so this was the plan. I wanted to our meeting, our reunification to be as sentimental and romantic and funny as possible. So I was going to just walk over to his house, go up to the door and ring the doorbell. And if one of his siblings or his parents answered, I'd say, "Hi, can David come out to play?" Standing there as an 18-year-old. And then if David himself answered, I'd say, "Hi, David, do you want to play?" And that would launch our romance, our summer romance. So I did it. I left Mary's house, and I walked down the street, past our house, around the corner. Now my heart was pounding. I'm rehearsing my lines in my head. And I walk up their walkway, and I could tell people were home. And I ring the doorbell. Oh, my gosh, who's going to answer? Who's going to answer? And one of his sisters answered the door. Now, I couldn't place her or anything. There were a million of them. And now it's 10 years later. I didn't know which one it was. And she just opens the door. Yeah. And I deliver my line, but I'm not as kind of cute about it as I needed to be for this really to work. But I'm not just, so I say something like, "Hi, can David come out to play?" You know, but I'm not sure. She didn't seem to have much of a sense of humor, and she wasn't very warm anyway. It might have not worked no matter how I delivered the line. But she just sort of looked at me, and then she left me standing there. She didn't even invite me in, and she just said, "David, there's someone here to see you. There's someone at the door. Come on, there's someone at the door." She walks away, just leaves me. I'm just standing on the porch. Oh, my God, what am I doing? What am I doing here? And then I see David coming through the house, and I see him sort of silhouetted against the, you know, the sliding doors that go into the backyard pool area, and he is indeed tall, and he's got the long, wavy hair, but I can tell by his body, you know, posture, is his body, whatever you call it, that he's not that confident surfer rock star Jesus type of guy. He's shy. He doesn't know how to handle the situation. And he kind of sidles towards the door and looks at me. He can barely say hello. And I say my line anyway. And I say, "Hi, David, you want to play?" He doesn't know who the hell I am. I have to explain who I am to the guy I'm supposed to have a romance with this summer. So I explain who I am. Remember Jeannie Helmick I used to live behind? And then I just start babbling. And I remind him of all the fun we had and all the things we did together. Remember the Beatles and all that? And I babble and I babble and I babble. He's looking more and more uncomfortable. I can tell he just wants to shrink back into the house and shut the door and hide. And finally, I just show him some mercy. And I just say something like, "Well, it was great to see you, David. See you around, I guess. Bye." And I scamper off back to Mary's house to tell her the bad news. And I don't know what was going on with David. Maybe he absolutely had no idea who I was. But I think the lesson there is some things are better left in the past. Thank you.